Don and I started this show because we used to have creative conversations. And I said, we should just record our conversations and put them on the air. And he thought that was a great idea. So you guys are all listening in to the creative conversations of Don Newsome and Win Free. And for those who are listening for the first time, Don is the founder of Blog and Service, and he has a passion for bringing inspiration and information to people about the changes that are going on in the world. And he's been introducing many different people and many different perspectives, and a lot of them have a huge amount of truth in them. And plus, he's giving people a forum to discuss and talk about things. And I'm Win Free, and I am the author, the principal author, with David Wilcock, of the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And while I was writing the book, while I was in the process of writing the book, 2 years into it, I had this amazing experience where I had a new girlfriend who started channeling. And for 6 months, she would say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'd be having conversations with this group soul that identified themselves as the Elohim. And they were predicting newspaper headlines, and they healed my sister's life. And but mostly, and probably most important, I got to ask all the questions about the things in my book. And there's some premises in the book that are pretty far out, and they gave the same answers. So Don and I talk about these things, and we talk about things
well,
like...
Well, now we argue. I guess
we argue?
We're finally at that stage in our relationship, folks,
we know each
where we argue.
We know each other well enough to argue. But Don,
I do.
Don, you can't argue with your guru.
Well, you know who says. Are we breaking all the rules just by having a show between you and I?
Now listen, you still sound muffled, Don.
Well,
which is good, because I'll sound good and you'll sound bad.
Well,
I mean, if that's
you
the way
know,
you
there's mean. Really not a heck of a lot I can do about that, because again, my system is set up to do remote
you
radio
promised
shows
you were
with other people, and it doesn't allow me to come into the system yet. And
you promised you were going to fix this last week.
And I purchased the equipment, and I installed it, and you know what?
You guys sound as bad as Click and Clack on NPR.
Now, wait a second. You be quiet. We didn't introduce you yet.
Well, then who's Clack and who's Click?
Okay, you can answer.
There's two brothers, and my dad knows one of them. One's a professor of mechanical engineering at MIT. He might be retired by now. And the other owns an auto body shop in Watertown, Massachusetts. And they have this show on, it's syndicated, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with it. It's called Click and Clack, and it's a car show, and they have it on usually on the weekends, and they're always just haggling at each other, and it's incredibly funny. But I'm not sure who's Click and who's Clack.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for that. Don, why don't you, by the way, for those of you that are listening, if you haven't hung up because of Don's bad voice yet.
Is it really that bad?
Huh?
Is it really that bad?
Yes, it sounds like you're gargling underwater.
Well, let me, you guys keep talking, and let
listen,
me do a little fooling around.
Sounds
here.
Like you have a scuba apparatus.
Okay, well, let me,
Listen, Don, why don't you take the phone, and move it, like, about 6 inches from your mouth.
How's that? Is that better?
Much better.
Is it really?
Yes.
How's that? Even better?
Well, you know, the volume isn't great, but at least you're not, you don't sound like you're scuba diving.
Well, it could be that you're hearing the feedback. See, again, folks, you know, I mean, this system is pretty much set up for remote hosting of radio programs.
Don't apologize.
Well, I like to apologize. Because,
you do?
Well, you know, I...
Are you married, Don?
Well, okay, what
can I... He has four kids.
By the way, that voice that keeps coming in has not been formally introduced, and she's known as Girlfriend X. And this is her first time on the show, And I don't know, those of you who have read the websites, go to Conversations with My Girlfriend, and you can read the story of Girlfriend X. We're not going to tell it, but we are very honored to have her on here and sharing the next hour with us. And I am sure she's going to add some really great stuff for your listening enjoyment. And those of you that have been tracking my story and have been listening in, it's kind of special to have Girlfriend X.
Was that a yawn?
Knowing she's real.
Or that feedback. Was that a yawn?
Was that a yawn from my part?
Yeah.
No.
Were you yawning at our audience?
Yeah, you were.
Was that a yawn?
You were yawning at our audience.
Well,
I heard it.
It's really difficult for me to hear Don. Can Don come in even if he sounds like a snorkel
a
guy?
A snorkel? Okay, bear with me. How's this? Is this a little better?
Yeah, I need some volume increase.
How's that?
Yes, thank you.
And you can hear me without gargling?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
You mean I fixed it?
No, I mean, you still sound like you're underwater, but at least I can hear you.
Ah, well, that is strange. One of these days, you and I got to take a little time to test out this system. I never have time. I could actually make this work when it comes to you and my interview, but I never have the time. I don't even have the 2 hours a day it would take to test the system because I'm so busy from the moment I get up to the moment I drop. I just don't have the time to actually put something in place that would allow you and I interviews to work properly.
But we have the most popular show on blogging.
We do?
You're telling me.
We have a very popular show.
Probably Lenny Horowitz is outdoing us, right?
Oh, everybody's outdoing us. We have about 2 listeners now, and I think one of them's written us. Okay. I stole Dr. Bell's line, but I love him.
We have 2 listeners right now?
No. Dr. Bell always uses that funny saying that he's got like 10 listeners, and 9 of them have written him already.
I see.
But if he knew the truth of the situation, he wouldn't laugh so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm joking.
Well, listen.
His show is fantastic, and people love it. He gets more feedback and more write-ups and people sending me email than just about everyone, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you know, part of doing the show is to create something of value for the people that are listening.
All
so
right,
we got to get a roll going.
Get out your empty wallets. We're about to manifest value.
We can't just BS, you know, like this, or else we sound like every other dumb DJ talk show in America, right? You know, the next thing is I'll start picking up the newspapers and making fun of the headlines, right?
You don't do that.
So, give me a. Did you put a topic up this week, Don?
I did.
What's our topic?
Our topic is, strangely enough, new energies and human change everywhere. And the reason I made that as a topic, because, you know, I've noticed that according, you know, that these new energies that are working throughout our system right now, throughout our solar system, are quite extreme. I feel them. Many people feel them. Of course, you're starting to get people writing you from our show and from and our listening audience that are stating that they're getting profound changes that are happening within them. And I'm getting this on an ongoing basis, that people are starting to actually find this center. And they're starting to experience some unique things in their lives because of it.
Well, you know what? There's no one that can talk about changes better than Girlfriend X, because Girlfriend X knows when there's a hurricane in Taipei. She picks it up, and she feels. Am I right?
Yeah, actually, that's true.
Why don't you talk about those changes and how it affects you? let me I should say a little bit, okay? That Girlfriend X and I spent 6 months together, and during that time. And let me, excuse me for identifying her and depersonalizing her as Girlfriend X. I do that not because I don't want her to be, at this point now, I feel like some of the aspects of what's happened between us and what I'm putting out are controversial, and I think it's best that she be anonymous at this point. Maybe at some point in the future, I feel confident enough to be different about that. So I call her Girlfriend X really as a way of just keeping her more free and talking openly. And for 6 months, we were together, and she spontaneously, and never did this before, started channeling a group called the Elohim, who identified themselves as one of the major group souls overseeing our planet. In fact, they said they were the God of the Old Testament, the group that was talking to Joseph Smith. And at the time it was happening, we were having a crazy time. I was trying to make money, running around selling sunglasses, and dragging her around with me. And in the middle of whatever else we were doing, she would say, "Those guys want to talk to you." And suddenly, I'm having conversations with this group on the other side. Now, when it first happened, I wasn't sure it was positive. I wasn't sure she wasn't making it up. She wasn't sure she wasn't making it up. But they started predicting newspaper headlines and healing my sister's life. And it became pretty apparent that there was something real going on. And at the same time, she was being attacked. She was being what you call negatively attacked. She would wake up in the night screaming. And eventually she just freaked out and left me. And then first she didn't want to talk to me. And now I think she's come to the conclusion where she believes that what happened was really important. And so we've been posting weekly channelings on blog-in service, weekly or bi-weekly.
Bi-monthly.
A lot of people are finding value in those. So with that, how does it feel to be so sensitive and picking up so many things? They described her as a cosmic receiving station that could pick things up and translate them, both positive and negative. How does it feel to be that way?
Well, to answer your question, my husband always described me as a broadband or wideband radio receiver, which is kind of ironic because my father was a ham radio junkie from the age of 12, and Wynn is also a ham radio junkie. And my husband is also a techie, high-tech guy, and...
He's not really your husband now.
we're not physically together, but you know he's still a dear friend at this point. He's living on the West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast. I guess starting from the age of about 5 or 6, I always knew that. I could feel things and feel other people's feelings, and I just thought that was a normal part of being alive. And I don't think it was until I was about 10 or 13 that I figured out that other people didn't have these same sensitivities, or they had different kinds of sensitivities. And I started feeling apart and other than and different, and I remember it came as a real shock to me when I was about 13 years old to realize very concretely that our culture, talking about the culture in the United States, I was living in Massachusetts at the time, really valued much more, especially for women, what you looked like on the outside and who your friends were and what kind of clothes you had than who you were as a person on the inside. And it really struck. It was very hard for me because up until that point I'd been very idealistic and very I just inherently knew that the value of a person was intrinsic. It was in their soul, you know, and these bodies that we walk around with were just vessels. They carried us around and they served us, and they were all different varieties, and that made life interesting, but people weren't better or less worthy than one another. They were just different. So my mom actually encouraged my, I used to talk about my dreams and stuff, and she was interested in that. My mother's part Cherokee. And my dad was an engineer, scientist, high-tech guy. He was involved with early semiconductor research, and and he was kind of like poo-pooed this stuff, at least on the surface, and said, go be a doctor, go study chemistry, go study physics. But actually, I was a really good science student, and actually physics was my best subject in school, and but I was also very drawn to the arts, and I went through a very reclusive period from 13 to 17 or 18, and I just felt that very few people could understand the kinds of stuff that I experienced, because I felt things so intensely. It was almost like I was inside the notes of a symphony, or I was inside the colors of a painting, and every cell in my body was reverberating with the pitch or the harmonic of the expression of the painter or the creator or the musician who had created that. And it was painful because I felt like there was incredible blockage. Something in me wanted to create and expand, and I didn't have my energy portals, my chakras open enough to do it. And then I was, when I was about 18, I had, I guess, a what you'd call Kundalini awakening, which happened, probably was aided by smoking some hashish with some friends at Phillips Andover, where I went to school. And I remember lying back down on the bed after we'd smoking for about an hour and feeling this total oneness with everything and having an out-of-body experience. And just knowing very, very, in a very conscious way, that there was so much more to our life and our experiences than what the five senses could discern on a daily basis, through normal experience. And I started having precognitive types of dreams. And then going, fast-forwarding into time, Wynn mentioned about kind of being a human barometer, and actually it's happened on several occasions. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for 15 years, from 1989 until 2002. And an earlier stint when I was about 7 was my dad. We moved out to Palo Alto, and I was in the Santa Cruz Mountains most recently in Saratoga, and living very near a fault line, the San Andreas Fault. And I remember distinctly three different occasions. The first one was before the Northridge quake in L.A., and we were driving up Route 17. This was about 12 hours before the quake. We were down south of Santa Cruz, and we were driving up the highway, and my husband and his friend were talking in the front seat of the car. I was in the back seat, and I felt this electrical tingling all through my body. And I kept tapping them both on the shoulders and saying, "We're going to have an earthquake, we're going to have an earthquake." Well, 8 o'clock the next morning, there was the earthquake in Northridge, 500 miles to the south of us, or 400 miles to the south of us. So that was in 94, I believe. And, there was another incident where we had gone up to Eureka, California, and I was having the same kinds of experiences, the tingling in the legs. And I kept saying to Robert, "Something's up. I feel like earthquake energies." And he said, "How do you know?" I said, I just feel them. I just feel them." And then I went jogging the next morning. We were staying at a bed and breakfast in Ashland, Oregon, right over the California border near Mount Shasta. And the hostess of the B&B came running out, because I had mentioned this to her previously the night before. And she said, "There was an earthquake in Eureka." I guess it was like a 5.4, not terribly big, but it was big. And And then most recently, about a year ago, I was here in Massachusetts, and I was about to go to Europe to visit a friend in Vienna, and I had I was over at my parents' summer home. My mother lives there now on Cape Cod and East Sandwich, and it was unseasonably warm and it was very windy, and I was feeling extremely jittery and nervous. And the animals were acting strange. My mother had a little dog, and I was watching the birds. And I knew something was up. I could feel it. And this was about 24 to 48 hours before the Indonesian tsunami. And I got on the plane. I flew to Zurich, and I flew to Vienna. And then within about 6 hours of getting to Vienna, the news hit that there'd been this 9 quake. You know, in the Indonesian Ocean, and it had devastated parts of Indonesia and Phuket, an island south of Thailand, where I'd actually spent a lot of time a few years back, and the woman I was staying with had gotten certified doing scuba stuff down there. So that was a very, very strange Christmas last year. So, I've certainly heard of other people that have these abilities, and some people, you know, can pinpoint things much more accurately than me. Sometimes I just know it's something. I don't know what it is. But I was talking to my father, and, you know, I think that if you're very sensitive, you can feel subsonic waves as well as ultra-high frequency waves. And if you're very sensitive to the Earth, and I seem to be that, I've got Taurus rising in my astrological chart. You know, you can pick up emanations from the Earth, and frequencies and vibrations from the Earth before the actual culmination into an event, a physical event. So that's the long-winded explanation of how it feels to be sensitive, I guess.
Hey, how does it feel when a group soul wants to speak for you? Can you tell the difference when it's a group and when it's an individual soul?
Yeah, I can.
How does it feel?
Well, the experiences that I've had with you, because you're the only person I've really done the one-on-one channeling with, except Terry, we've done group channelings with her. Basically, I'll feel a sense of urgency, either pressure on the head, or a sense of like being pushed, like someone's like gently pushing me or nudging me from the back or my neck, like we need to do this. And then the energy will come in and usually we'll ask for the energies that are present to come in. And then depending on our questions, the energies will present themselves as to who's the appropriate energy for the question.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's Ra, for example, Ra has a very different energy than the Elohim energy, or the Council of An, or Ptah, or Kuo, or who are some of the other entities that have come through? Those are the main ones.
Michael?
Archangel Michael and Mother Mary have come through, too.
Yeah.
It's just kind of... I guess the best way I could describe it is like notes on the piano.
Each one feels different, huh?
Each one feels different, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, when this first started happening between you and me, you thought you were making it up.
Well, it's not within the normal boundaries of, you know, consciousness. We're not taught about this in public school. And, you know, unless you're, you know, reading... you know, Eastern metaphysics or the Kabbalah, or, you know, you were familiar with, who's the fellow there down in Virginia who's been doing the, Raymond Moody, who's been doing the out-of-body, the near-death experiences, and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Unless you were, knew something about these things, you know, here in the West, our indigenous traditions have all been kind of lost. And or they've been kind of sublimated, and so we don't talk a lot about the other side. You know, we don't talk about the spirit world. You know, we don't talk about things like that. We can you rephrase your question again? I think I lost track of it.
Well, when we first started doing this, we had these amazing things come through, and you thought you were making it up.
I had no point of reference. That's the expression that you've used. I had no point of reference for validating what was coming through me, except that I read a lot of success material when I was in my late 20s, like Jane Roberts. I had kind of a scientific background. Science was a strong suit for me. My father was a scientist. My mother was more artistic. And the language that I started handwriting a lot of these things, or typing a lot of these things as they were coming through, and I go back and read, you know, the sentences, which oftentimes were very, very long, and they were had very funny sentence structure, and it wasn't my normal speech, and yet it was very coherent and made a lot of sense. But it wasn't my normal consciousness. So there was coherence there. There was some kind of validity there that I couldn't vouch for from a point of view of everyday consciousness. So something was coming through me. I was like being used as a transmitter. And so I went through a period of like first denial, then being kind of scared, and then slowly accepting it like, well, I guess this is a talent. You know, it's a gift, it's a service, and it can be used, you know, to help people. And so I think that's where I am with it now. I've accepted it. I'm not afraid of it anymore. And, you know, you do have to use discernment when you're opening yourself up to these higher vibrations, because, you know, you're opening up yourself to everything, you know, negative and positive. And so you have to use protection.
Well, you used to worry that what would people think of you? Like, this was, like, really weird. And you didn't want people to think ill of you, like, be some kind of wacko, right? Remember?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
How'd you get over that one?
Well, I think that, you know, I was raised on the East Coast, and I went to conservative schools, and my father was kind of a Greek version of Horatio Alger. You know, he was an engineer and had started a company and was doing very well, and they bought a beautiful house, and they'd both grown up very poor. And I've got a Capricorn moon, so, you know, what people thought of me bothered me. And I just didn't want to be dismissed as a kook, because I'd always had these esoteric interests. And I knew that you know, things that were on the fringe were often, you know, laughed at and poked at by society, especially here in the U.S., even more so than in Europe. I think where I got a big break, actually, was when I moved to Europe when I was 18. I stayed with my German teacher and her son for a while out in the country. And she was very gifted at divination, and she taught me how to use the yarrow sticks, and she taught me about the I Ching and astrology and dream interpretation, and turned me on to the works of of Jung, and was very much into homeopathic medicine. And there had been a long tradition in Switzerland, even for regular doctors, for allopathic doctors, to also know the homeopathic remedies before they used the allopathic remedies. So there was a respected tradition there of the mind and the body. So there was more connectedness of the mind, body, spirit in Europe than there was here in the New World.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that so going to Europe and having that positive experience about, you know, being an intuitive, and then coming back here, and then I started taking some astrology classes with a very well-respected a Jungian psychotherapist, Tom Watkins, in Concord, Massachusetts, out of the Interface Institute, and he later moved to Santa Fe. And my husband and I were going to move to California at that point, and I was his youngest student, and I was picking the stuff up so fast. And he said, you should do this professionally. And I was only about 26. And I said, really? And he said, yes. He said, you have a real gift for it. And he said, you're going to the perfect place. You know, the Bay Area is very receptive to this. And so slowly, I started realizing that there were places and people and, you know, institutions and, you know, organizations that I could be around that wouldn't think I was a quack, and that I could, you know, I could do astrological readings, and I could do this kind of work, and I could be involved with meditation and spiritual practice and not be considered kooky. But it was a hard shift, you know, it took a long time.
You know, I opened my computer up because I'm going to read the very first time. Don, are you still there? Don?
Of course I'm here.
Just want to make sure we're not boring you.
Oh, not at all. I'm actually loving it. I thank you, girlfriend X. And that feels so strange for me to say that, but thank you, because I love what you're doing, and it's just a pleasure to have you on. So I'm just going to keep listening and keep my mouth shut. I'm learning something.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Don.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
You know, I have my website up, Conversations with My Girlfriend, where I talk about Girlfriend X. I'm actually re-editing the book right now. I'm going through it. And I have a book, Conversations with My Girlfriend, where we talk about how she and I got together, and it's quite a story, I would say. And I wrote in the beginning of the book, it's like Gone with the Wind meets E.T. And is that a good description?
Gone with the Wind. Yeah, I guess it could be kind of like that.
Gone with the Wind.
I think I identify more with Phone Home than Scarlett O'Hara, but...
Oh, you're more like E.T. than Scarlett?
I'm more like Phone Home.
Right, right, right. But you know what? I've kind of renamed you in the book, and I'm calling you Alexis.
Okay.
Better than Girlfriend X.
Well, my parents were going to name me Alexandra, so it was close.
So it was pretty close. Maybe I should call you Alexandra.
Okay.
You know, you like Alexandra better.
Yeah,
than
that was my that was the name there.
Alexandra. Okay. So what happened was, Alexandra and I were taking a drive to Portland, and it was raining, and I did this prayer for protection, and at the end of the prayer I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered and said, we're here, what are your questions? And I asked some questions, and I thought she was making it up. And then she said, that was the strangest thing that ever happened. So we were around Mount Shasta area, and I've read about weird things around Mount Shasta, so I said, maybe that was just some weird Mount Shasta entity. So we ended up in Portland, and we're staying in a hotel, and 3 days later, I took a tape recorder out, and again, I said, so does anybody want to talk to me? And again, there was an answer. And I'm going to read the transcript of the question here. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wynn, is anyone here? Does anyone want to identify themselves? Good evening. We bring forth to you knowledge of the higher intergalactic species of the Lone Star System, Alcyone. This is to be our first recorded transmission to you, and we are pleased to announce our engagement of technological meshing with your channel so that we may bring forth to you information of a needed higher caliber for transmission and integration at this particular frequency and station, and knowing pertinent to the incoming questions. Have you questions this evening, Mr. Wynn? Wynn, can you describe how you perceive our channel's consciousness when we ask for your presence? This is a multi-level diagrammatic question, and our present channel is a very wideband receiver station calibrated for exceptional galactic clairaudience and claircognition, which when tuned to the proper channel below the current threshold of consciousness shall make inroads into accessing very pertinent information at this time of transition. There is evidence of internal pre-structural damage in this entity, overlying from two focused thoughts, thought patterns of rigid value structures applied over an awakening matrix, which must be moved. The present entity is having a difficult time removing the residual calcification of thought forms. Your assistance is required to move said entity and readjust according to contractual service. Now, let me just have an interjection here. You know, that was like the very first time we did this. Does that mean something to you now? Does that mean more now than it did a long time ago? There's evidence.
Yeah, well, I understand it a lot more now than I did then, sure.
You want to share it? I'll read it again. Evidence of internal pre-structural damage in this entity, overlying from two focused thoughts, thought patterns of rigid value structures applied over an awakening matrix. I mean, that's quite saying quite a bit there. How would you interpret that, and how has your experience gone from then? This was 3 years ago. This was April of 2002 to now.
3.5 years ago, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think what they were saying was that there was this huge, huge kind of archetype of energy that was wanting to funnel itself and through me as a focus point in the third dimension, or maybe through multiple dimensions within the third dimension, if we look at ourselves as multiple dimensional entities. But my thought patterns were very calcified. I have a Capricorn moon, I have Taurus rising, I have South Node Saturn conjunction in Aquarius in the 10th house. And I have all these things called the odds, fingers of God, which are very erratic energy receptors in my chart. And basically my energy template, the way my system would work, is that I guess like a kind of like a crab. On the outside, I was very hard, but inside I was incredibly sensitive. And so I was always having to shelter myself on the outside. Because once someone permeated that fortress, if they got inside and it was something that I couldn't digest, or it was toxic, or, you know, it broke my world apart, there was no way I could deal with it. And it was a way of protection, basically. And so that's been a very hard thing to deal with. And it might have to do also with past life strains. In the Sabian symbols, the symbol for my Mars at 14 degrees of Pisces is the use of glamour as protection. And I've always, you know, I'm a musician and I dress kind of artistically, and I've always been told I have this kind of bohemian, artsy, fartsy flair. Now, for Europe, I'm not considered overdressed at all, but for here in the States, I'm always considered too dressed up.
Now, you know, just let me interject, since you mentioned you're a musician. Don is playing some of your music in between his shows. So how are you addressing those? Music from Girlfriend X, Don?
You know, I must say it's wonderful music, and I'm getting wonderful feedback on it. In fact, one of the show hosts liked it so much, they're using part of the harp music for the intro to their show, and so I mean, very positive. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful music.
We're about to mix that down and put it out on CD Baby, so people, you can recommend that people can buy it.
Excellent.
It's called Chiron
Wind.
Chiron Wind.
It's just beautiful.
And
we will be playing it for the audience out there. We do play music from various artists before and after our shows at various times. So just stay tuned, where we always run live from about 3 p.m. until 11, 12 p.m. every day, Monday through Sunday. I also wanted to say we're going to run a little late on this show because we started a little late, and Dr. Fred Bell will be doing his first ever live broadcast with BBS Radio after our show, so stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
What time is he coming on?
He's coming on right after us, and it's quite a treat to have him do a live show for us because he hasn't done one, and he's put together about 15 shows for us, and all of those were pre-recorded. So this really is quite a situation, and I just thank Dr. Bell for being a part of this.
Should I watch our time so we smell fairly soon?
Cause, well, you know, sometimes I have a few questions for our girlfriend X that I really wanted to ask her. Now that I have a chance to speak with her on the air, I just wanted to get her feelings about a couple things, if I might.
Sure.
And again, thank you for coming on this program. You know, you're one of the few beings. When I sense who you are, you're a very, very highly evolved soul. Not just a wise or a soul, not just a soul that's had many incarnations, but a very, I guess, highly evolved soul. And so it's nice to have you on here and be able to ask you these questions. One of those
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, before you ask the questions, you know, I do want to finish reading this initial channeling.
Oh, please.
Another 2 minutes.
Sure.
And then I'll back off, okay?
Yes, please.
Okay. So now, and this is actually a special time to be able to talk about this and have share it with people. As people can tell, this is very spontaneous. And, you know, truthfully, I love this woman, and she knows it. And we have gone through all kinds of stuff. And this is one of the most... Our relationship is one of the more challenging relationships anyone could ever imagine. Could we say that?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, so they said my assistance was required to move said entity and readjust according to contractual service. Well, you know, 6 months after we did this channeling, she left me, and all her stuff was in the garage, and I was about to go in and smash it all. I was so mad. I'm so angry, but I held myself back. But in any case, I guess I did give the assistance, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Over a period of time. So I asked the question, is there anything specific I can do to assist with this or just my presence? And the answer, the entity with which you deal has by nature a very serious disposition. In the honoring of the spontaneous aspect in taking time for play as well as work, and taking time for well rest as well as exertion, a balance may be achieved which is more beneficial and less taxing for said entity. This entity will take the demands of work very seriously, too much so, and overburden the neurosystem to the detriment of the health if not given the permission of yourself to relax at certain intervals. Also, spending time... Wait a second here. I just shut my computer off. Also, spending time in... Did you know my computer just went into standby? So, oh, wait. All right. Don, I'm going to have to read this after my computer comes back on.
That's
so
okay.
We'll take an interlude in reading this.
I'm part of that.
By the way, I mean... I don't. You people who are listening, understand. You understand the sophistication of this vocabulary and language that is coming through. Understand, this is the second time essentially that this has happened. But I'm sitting there saying, "What is going on? Is this positive? Is this negative? Can I trust this? Who the hell is talking?" And girlfriend X is saying, I can't believe anything that important can happen for me. I think I'm making it up. And so this is quite an amazing experience. I mean, basically they said that she is a cosmic receiving station and can tune into things. And we were talking to a being that identified itself as Ptah. This was not a group soul. This was an individual high soul. And as I came to understand it, Ptah was like an emissary for the Elohim. Fatah came through for the first maybe three or four or five times, and then the Elohim identified themselves. And of course, the Elohim identified themselves as the one that was identified as the Elohim in the Old Testament. And but they're, you know, the Old Testament says they're God, but they're not God in the way that religion makes them to be God. They're a group soul that has gone through our level and acts as part of a helper for planets in lower levels of evolution, like ours. And so, in the past, they've been interpreted as God, and perhaps at different times, that was the easiest way for them to present themselves. But basically, if I am expressing it correctly, they're kind of an advanced form of us. And in fact, some of us, as I've learned, are actually them. Because what's happened on our planet is members of these group souls have made great sacrifices to take incarnations down here. And when I say it's a sacrifice, is that when a being comes in who has transcended this level and then comes into this level, they almost always get lost, and they have to go through many lifetimes being lost before they start to put it all together. And in fact, there's some indication, I'm not sure this is true completely, but there's some indication, for example, that Girlfriend X is actually an Elohim member who took an incarnation, and she has gone through hell. It's no bargain, you know, being a high being or a high soul that's come here. And then I have the question. Here, I open this up again. Any answers as to why she wishes she wasn't in a body? This said entity, contractually, is very far from her home, some 30 to 40,000 light years. She is an outpost messenger, so to speak. It is as if a person is living in an extremely foreign country with virtually no one to communicate. It is a spiritual homesickness rather than a moral or ethical weakness on the part of this entity. Girlfriend X, do you want to comment on that? That's a pretty far out thing.
Well, it's kind of been the feeling I've had my whole life, you know, not being understood, feeling like an outsider, not feeling at home in my own family or in my own country, feeling much more comfortable among foreigners and in international settings than in kind of provincial settings.
Mm-hmm.
And just generally being, you know, with the exception of being around artists and mystical and esoteric people, just generally feeling misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Now, then it says here, when she feels as if she is really giving and being received, her gratitude for being physicalized will increase. Like being on the show, does that help you feel?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, fun?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You feel like you're being received?
Yeah.
And appreciated?
Mm-hmm.
As for now, the density of the earth changes weighs upon her interior metabolics very heavily and throws her endocrine system off balance. It is indeed difficult to maintain any kind of emotional equilibrium at this present junction. Indeed, it is difficult to maintain the life force at this junction, but she has made a determined effort to fulfill her obligation and will not renege. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? They say, maintaining your life force. It means, like, they say, you could have died, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oftentimes there's this, I have anemia, and Louise Hayes often says that when you have things like pernicious anemia, it's an indication that the life, the vital force is weak. And I have a 12-ton. It's that there's some kind of weakness in the will to be physical, to be physicalized down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's always like I wanted to sprout wings and fly.
Now, the next question I ask, does she and I have a past life track record and a contractual relationship this life, or is it a relationship of free choice? As we read from the Akashic Records, we see you have freely chosen now, although we see there has been a contractual relationship in the past. This is a wild card, so to speak, for you both have completed enough of your soul's prerequisites in order to advance several thousand millennium in terms of spiritual and solar evolution, if you so choose. Does this suffice? That's a pretty interesting one, huh? Like maybe because we're cooperating and you're on the show and we're doing something together, I think we're sizzling on the other side.
I do too. In fact, I think you guys have probably worked out a lot of your issues together, lessons. And isn't it kind of fun when you know those lessons are behind you?
She invited me to come visit her. That's a good sign.
Well, before we, that is a great sign. You know.
All right.
It's okay. They don't know my last name.
That's true. Okay. Well, Don makes a lot of mistakes and always does. But I do have a couple questions for you before we wrap this up. The first question is, you know, these stargates are opening up. And, like, there's one that opened up yesterday. Do you feel it when these stargates, when these alignments take place and these stargates open up? Is it different to you when those...
Hey, Don, I know you're asking a question. I'm just going to say something. When you say one opened up yesterday, why don't you say that you have the idea that one opened up? Because I don't think you can say that as absolute truth.
When?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, asking questions to her is a very sensitive thing, and I have to sit like as kind of a guardian of the gate to make sure. There's a possibility of getting great value.
Now, folks, do you see why we would get into fun, Wynn and I?
But we love each other. What's good about us, Don?
Okay, I'll answer the question.
Don, if we can say whatever we want, and we still come out loving each other.
I do believe that a gate opened yesterday. It was 11. It was 11:11.
Right.
And I had some very extremely powerful synchronistic experiences. My basement flooded last night. My landlord was over here at 4 a.m. with a wet back.
You
know, that doesn't happen every day of the week. For me, I've been extremely sick. I've had, I thought it was bronchitis. First, I thought it was pneumonia. And I went to the hospital about a week ago, and in the middle of the night, and they said, no, your chest is clear, but your lungs are inflamed. And so, on a physical level, for me, it felt like something has been frozen, and it's now thawing out.
Interesting.
So that's how I've experienced it on a personal level.
Yeah.
On a transpersonal level, I'm looking at the calendar here, and let's see, there's a full moon on the 15th. It's a Scorpio full moon. And let's see, yesterday was Veterans Day. And, you know, in light of what happened in, I'm sure you heard about the tragedy in Jordan with the 52 people getting killed at the wedding, and I think there's a lot of very, very unstable energies that are happening right now. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and Pluto demands the death and destruction and release of anything that stands in the way of growth. And you know, I am one of these people that I'll walk by the microwave and I'll see 111, 222, 333, 444. I mean, it happens to me all the time. I started first noticing it back in 1992, actually. And I think it had to do with alignment of the grids, the ley lines on the Earth.
Right.
And there are certain, like, geomagnetic plates and something with the plate tectonics and something with the planetary oversoul called the Antakarana. And I had an experience back in 1993 where I was I believe I was projected into the future, like for 4 days, and I was shown a very encapsulated view of a potential awakening of multidimensionality on planet Earth or on Terra between now and 2012. And each of the days, there were like 4 or 5 days, and so they represented in linear time a 5-year span. And I was building pyramids. I was reciting Sanskrit incantations. I don't know Sanskrit. I was doing whirling dervish dances. I was living in Menlo Park, California at this time. And,
interesting.
It looked like lunacy from the outside, I'm sure, because a couple of people witnessed it, including my husband, and he was waving his hands in front of me. I wasn't sleeping at all during this period, and he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm right here." And he said, "No, you're not. You're pure energy." It was like I was a pure vessel, I was a conduit of energy. And at the end of this experience, I remember looking up into the sky, and we didn't have one sun, we had two suns. We had turned into a binary star system. And everything had a silver, golden glow about it. And I remember, like, you know, hitting my knee and my arm and thinking, am I still physical? Am I dead? You know, Robert, are you alive? You know, he was sleeping in the other room. I didn't know if I'd fallen through a wormhole or what had happened. But then eventually the normalcy of coming back into 3D, you know, happened, and my health deteriorated drastically over the next 6 months, and I ended up with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. It was like my circuits had blown out. I had experienced this really, really, really high-powered voltage.
That's amazing. I mean, it boggles my mind. I can't even contemplate that sort of thing or even run it through my head.
It blew my mind, too, because people were... I mean, I had... My psychotherapist told me I was nuts. And I said, "You're not supposed to tell me that because you're my therapist."
You know, here's another question for you. Do you have the ability, with your unique sensitivity and your insight, do you have the ability to telepathically, let's say, when you're receiving these transmissions, to allow others to perceive those transmissions as you would? In other words, like you're holding someone else's hand and you're focusing the energies through you into someone else so that they can capture a glimpse of what you're receiving. Is that possible?
That's an interesting question. I've never actually experimented with it. That's something I'd have to try.
Or ask you know, your sources whether that can be done, because that would be a really interesting experience for somebody.
My sources are saying yes, that is possible. They could do that. They could set it up as a...
All right, I'm going to fly down tomorrow. And I kid you not, I would make a special trip just to experience that.
I'm in Boston, actually. I'm on Cape Cod right now.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, that's just because I've actually heard it being done, but I've just, you know, I kind of wanted to get your take on it, and I'm glad you said that's possible, because it means that maybe a few of us can, you know, well, let's just say maybe in sometime in the future we can get together with people that do have that ability and experience it for ourselves, and maybe as our own awakening.
I think potentially it could be a very powerful healing and a grounding cord.
Yes.
It's kind of like the formation of soul groups anchoring planetary grid lines and Christed consciousness lines on these various portal points on the map, on the grid. And it's important. It seems like it's very important now. I'm beginning to get information just intuitively about being in certain places. I had sworn to myself up and down that I would never live east of the Rockies again, and it came as a huge surprise to me when I ended up back on the East Coast.
Wow.
And the only reason I came back, you know, ostensibly was my mother and father live here, you know, and I was going through a really difficult time, and at least I had a support system here. But I don't really have a kind of any kind of a psychological affinity to New England but I must have had a karmic kind of affinity here, because, you know, vibrationally, I'm very, very at home in the Bay Area in California, and I miss it terribly. But there must have been some kind of where I was born here, and there must have been some kind of residual, you know. It's very grounded here.
Yeah.
I feel very, very, very grounded here. And it's been hard for me here, but it's also kind of taught me a lot about self-reliance and about taking these really, really high energies, these high frequency. I've always used the metaphor of, you know, those high voltage, those cross-country wires,
yeah,
that, you know, those 400,000 volts go through.
Yes.
I've always had the feeling of being one of those like high voltage transmitter towers, and the amperage was so high that when you tried to step it down into household current, I'd blow the house up.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's happening in my life now, is like spirit is working with me to step down the amperage, the voltage, so we can use it, you know, in an everyday ordinary way without blowing people's circuits.
Amazing. Well, I have one more question for you. You know, I want, if you would, please, I sincerely, and not only ask and pleading, I would love for you to be a regular, if you would, on this, on our program, because I just think you have so much information, wonderful information that will help others awaken on their journey. And again, just, I have one more question for you. But I wanted to remind the listeners that Dr. Bell will be live after our programming, and we apologize that we're running a little late. We got started a little late, and I just want to let you know that he is doing a live special next. It's his first one with bbsradio.com, so do stay tuned for that. The last question is this, and this is a personal thing, and I don't know whether you can answer it or not, but I've experienced some strange things, and I'm sure Wynn has maybe told you a few of them, or maybe not, but I have experienced voices, direct voices in my head before, and they would give specific directions to things that I had no idea. But it was so few and far between, and the other day, yesterday, I was meditating, and I got a voice in my head. And I don't know whether it's in my imagination or not, but it's just not me. It sounded like it came from somewhere else. I know it wasn't me. It didn't feel like me, and it was very direct. And it said, I believe Atmos. I think that was the name. And it said, I am Atmos. I am from the Galactic Federation, and we are observing you. We have been watching you, and we are proud of you. And I mean, just right there, it was right in my head, and I tried to ask for it to continue speaking to me, and so that we could have a dialogue, and that didn't happen. And when I went to bed that evening, and I further meditated, and I noticed that I could see the outlines, the energy outlines of not only my guardian angel, which looked like it had a very small head, it looked like, I mean, not like your normal head, but a very small head, not a big head, and big, beautiful eyes, no hair, very thin, very small head, and it looked like, I mean, I think it was my guardian angel, and then I could notice that my various other spirit guides were very animated, and they were showing themselves quite vividly to me, especially one particular spirit guide who seems to visit me every night, and this particular night he was right there, animated, trying to answer my questions. I couldn't hear him, so he's actually giving me hand signals. Now, I don't know. I got to tell you, this is it's strange for me, but if that's happening to me, I would assume it's happening to many, because I don't believe I'm a psychic. I don't think I'm a mystic. I don't really feel all that in tune. So I wanted to get your take on that, because I'm an average, everyday person, as many of our audience are, and, you know, if they have these sorts of strange things occur, what's your take on that? I don't even really know how to phrase the question.
Well, I think that the experience that you had may well have been very real. And I remember listening to an interview with, I want to say Dolores Cannon, but it wasn't her. It was the angel lady, Doreen Virtue. And she was talking about angels and contacting your angels. And this must have been about 3 years ago. I was driving down from Mount Shasta, maybe 4 years ago. And the veils are thinning right now. The veils are thinning between the dimensions, between the layers of consciousness. And so those who are open, especially children, and especially people that have very open hearts, and people of pure intent, can make contact. And it's volitional. I guess one of the cosmic laws is that we have to give permission. They can't interfere. It's like the prime directive on Star Trek. They can't interfere unless we give permission. So we have to ask for their help. We have to ask for assistance. We have to ask for guidance. That's why prayer is important and has to be done, you know, continuously, because nothing is forced against our will. In this, we're in a free will zone, apparently. And this planet is, from what I understand, it's a great experiment. It's like a big soup. They're not really sure how it's going to come out. They're still not sure how it's going to come out. And but it seems to be important to the evolution of not just humans, but lots and lots of species, and not just this galaxy, but, you know, lots of galaxies.
Yeah.
And it seems very complex from the information that I've read over the years. But the veils are thinning now. I work a lot with children. I teach music to small children, and the awareness of kids, especially those born after, I would say, like 95 or 96, they are just incredibly awake. I mean, these children say things, and your mouth just drops open.
Yes.
And supposedly, these kids are awakened masters that are incarnating, that they don't have any karma here. They don't have karma to burn off. They've come in as awakened masters to help send us off on this next wave of humanity's evolution. And I'm getting chills as I'm saying this to you, because I'm thinking of my niece and nephew who are just like 2 and 3 years old, and my other ones that are 11 and 8. And they're representative of these energies. I see it in them. I feel it in them so strongly, and in my students. So I think, to get back to your question, I think it's very, very possible that many, many, many people are awakening to these things, and that it's going to be easier and easier and easier. It's also important to use discernment, meaning that not everything that comes from the other side is positive.
Right.
We always have to invoke the light, the protection of the guardian angels, Archangel
Right.
Michael, the Christed light, the Buddha, the Krishna, anything that you're comfortable with that is of a positive vibration, service to other vibrations. I can't stress that enough, because there are negatively oriented beings, service to self agendas, that can wreak absolute havoc in your life. And I'm talking about physical things, you know, fires being started, accidents happening, you know. I don't want to scare anybody, but, I mean, you have to take this stuff seriously. This is why you...
We had those experiences.
Yeah, we've had these experiences. I know of other people who've had these experiences. I've known about people who've actually died and under psychic attack. So there is a spiritual war, if you want to say that, spiritual warfare taking place right now. And, I mean, there always has been, I guess. And it is a vying of the light and the dark, and... there's an evolutionary process that's coming out of this, but supposedly we evolve faster this way than if we were in an all positively oriented universe.
Right.
from the raw readings that Wynn has informed me of.
Wow, you know, I can't stress enough your information, and I'd really, really like it if you'd consider coming on our show.
I would be very honored. Thank you very much, Don. What are your days and what's your time?
You know, I'll let you go over that with Wynn. It's every Saturday evening. And normally we can run for as long as we wish. Unfortunately, tonight we do have a following show. Normally, again, we can run 1 or 2 or 3 hours. But tonight we do have Dr. Bell coming on next for his first live promo, so we did schedule it. But otherwise, Saturday evenings, all evening long, and whenever, however, you can find the time, we would be honored to have you with us, sharing your insight and your knowledge. I think it's crucial.
I consider this my work, and it's a privilege and an honor, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Wynn, I love you. And
God, I'm no longer his guru. what do we call it?
Duct tape. Glue. I prefer glue.
Glue?
Glue? It sounds better than duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
More like guru.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I guess you want to leave now, Don?
Well, we kind of have to, unfortunately.
Well, let's do our normal calling in
a
little
late. It's such a good time here,
okay.
You know, listening to you and learning from you, that I really hate to rush this particular show.
That's all right. But just to remind people, those people that are interested in pursuing the kinds of topics we've been talking about, check out my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend. Check out winfree.com. I'm going to be putting a draft copy of the book up there very shortly. I've just been working the website out tonight, Conversations with My Girlfriend. We're also going to be putting some CDs of some of the questions and answers we've done with these group souls and making them available. And then The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is available at Cayce's Back. And I would say, for anyone that wants to understand what's happening on this planet from the higher point of views, this is required reading. It's probably the most, the most believable presentation of ascension you're going to find. And this dimensional shift from the point of view of the group soul who's administering it all. So it's impacted those people that have read it. Have been really impacted greatly. It covers so many points of view of looking at this, and it's pretty compelling. So I thank Girlfriend X for being on tonight, and
as do I.
And
let's close with a prayer.
Yeah. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person who's tuned in and listening, and that they can feel this energy move through their bodies. They can feel this presence as an energy, and they can release any negativity into it to the higher realms of light and let it all go and see just where you are, that you are anchoring a column of light in your space through your body, radiating from the galactic center, using your body, allowing your body to be used to be a conduit for this light energy into the center of the earth. And we can also see just at this moment that we, all of us who are listeners, are combining through the grid lines of our planet, the Christ grid lines. We are combining to have a group energy. And this group energy is amplified because of our thoughts and because of our consciousness being projected into it, and that we ask that we can experience this energy and lift and allow ourselves and allow this energy to be used for lifting of the planetary vibration. And we give permission to those service to other group energies, positive group energies on the other side, operating in the Christed light, to operate and connect with our planet through these, through the group, the Christ grid, through us, that we can be their ground crew, that we can radiate and hold positive, loving energy no matter what's going on outside of us, and that we can hold the focus and the stability for those people around us as the world goes through changes, and that we have the strength to stay centered and to stay in love no matter what's happening in the outside world. And we are the hope for the future, all of us who are listening and take this seriously. And on that note, I thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Do we have Jean-Claude Coven next week?
We do. We have Jean-Claude Coven of goingdeeper.org. That's goingdeeper.org. And believe me, what a book that is. That's one of the books I read that actually took me on a journey I'll never forget. So Jean-Claude Coven will be here with us next week. And I thank you for tuning in. And next, of course, up, we have Dr. Bell's first special live presentation on BBS Radio. So we'll have him up in the next short few minutes. And again, thank you for tuning in. Gwen, my wonderful co-host and my guru, I love him. And
I am not your guru.
Now that we've finally become more like a married couple, we're going to get a lot more out of this relationship.
That's right. Now we're yelling at each other, right?
And Girlfriend X, it was an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us tonight.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
And we will hopefully have you on many times to come. Good
night. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And good night, Wynn.
Good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.